flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From the Baltimore Banner, let's welcome back to the show as we do every Friday. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline, Jonas Schaefer. Jonas, good morning. How are you feeling today?
I'm catching up on my sleep. How you guys doing?
Doing all right. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about Maryland, when they lost to Northwest and won to overtime, I was just, I don't care who wins. Just get it over with. You know, like my mother used to say to my dad way back when, but we digress. Of course, Ravens season is over with, and you were there, obviously, on Tuesday or Wednesday to attend the end of season press conference. Any subtle takeaways that you got from John Harbaugh or Eric DaCosta in addressing the offseason, season that was? Because, you know, Vinny said it yesterday, and I agree. Looking at the roster now, the way it's put together, and at least most of the guys coming back, they're going to be one of the best teams in the NFL in 2025. But your big takeaway, if you had one, from Wednesday?
Big takeaway, I guess, just, you know, I think, Vinny, you were the one to ask the question, but I don't think we're any closer to the clarity on the Ronnie Stanley situation than we were before. And I think that's by far the most important piece of their offseason. I know there's a lot of optimism about Roger Rosengarten and what he could be, but, you know, if all else being equal, I'd rather keep things the status quo and have Ronnie and Roger be, you know, your bookend tackles for another year, and have Lamar again have another year of peace in that pocket. We know how jittery he can be when things are a little bit astray in that pocket. And I think the Ravens offensive line was a big, big part of why he had the incredible historic season that he did. So it would not surprise me if, you know, the Ravens are kind of resigned to him testing his value on the open market. I've already seen, you know, articles from the New England Patriots media saying that he would be a nice guy to spend a lot of that cash that they have and help protect Drake May. Obviously, with the restructured deal that Ronnie got, he's not under contract for as long as he once was, and that was smart in some ways, but obviously maybe a little bit foolish in retrospect. So it's going to be interesting. I think it's probably unlikely that they get a deal done before the new league year starts, and that means that we're kind of resetting the clock on just, you know, who the next left tackle of the future or right tackle of the future is.
Yeah, I would, if I'm a betting man, just kind of hearing everything, Jonas, I think Rosengard's going to be the left tackle. My question is, what do you do with McCary? McCary's probably going to get paid more than the Ravens probably want to pay just because of the versatility that he's got, and he can play anything. Or if you sign McCary, he could probably start out as the right tackle then. Because I don't know that they would have a right tackle if Rosengarten goes to left.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're being linked to some guys with that first-round pick. But as we all saw, it was kind of a minor miracle that Roger was as good as he was starting in week three or week four as he was. I mean, you know, a bunch of first-rounders weren't nowhere close to the level of productivity that he had. So even if they, you know, land the tackle from Oregon or the tackle from Minnesota, no guarantee that they would be anywhere close to average NFL starters. I guess my one red flag with McCary, if you want to call it that, is, you know, the whole reason why they never really saw him as a full 17-game starter was because of those chronic back issues. Mm-hmm. He seemed to have gotten over those, but are you playing with fire by locking him into a long-term deal and expecting him to be a long-term solution there, or, you know, a short-term solution for the next year or two? So obviously they will know his medicals better than anyone. That's going to give them a better insight into just how he might fit into the long-term future. But I think we have to realize and recognize that there was a reason why they were depending on him more as that super sub than a 17-game starter for the foreseeable future.
Hey, Jonas, we've had a few callers call in and said that they would trade Andrews, you know, because Likely is the guy. You know, what's your opinion on that?
I mean, I guess it depends on what I'm being offered. I don't
fourth round pick know. Is what they were saying. Fourth round pick.
What? Fourth round?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, asking to wait. So wouldn't you be getting that with a comp pick in a couple of years' turn? I mean, I would keep him. I still think he could be a really important piece. I think the thing that's tough to stomach with all this is that you compare his playing time to someone like George Kittle in San Francisco, and it is very, very different snap distributions. Obviously, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the Ravens have as many good tight ends, and they have Pat Ricard, and you know, San Francisco is relatively starved for tight ends besides George Kittle, so of course they're going to be playing him, you know, 85-90% of the snaps, whereas Mark, on a good day, might be playing two-thirds of the snaps. I just think that in terms of the locker room culture, in terms of the precedent, in terms of, you know, what he means to Lamar Jackson and to his success, I wouldn't get rid of him, even though he might be selling high at this point in his career. I just think that this might be a situation where we see Lamar kind of throw his weight around in the same way that we did when he asked for a Odell or DeAndre Hopkins. Like, he knows how good Mark is. He knows what he means to him personally, professionally, all that jazz. So would it surprise me if they move off from Mark? No, but I don't think they're cutting him, which means that, to your point, I think that probably the only way that they'd get him out of here would be via trade.
Now, Jonas, what do you number one, where do you play TJ Tampa? And then number two, what do you see as their biggest need going into free agency in the draft?
I mean, if Ronnie Stanley leaves, then that's got to be it. They've got to find someone to play the other tackle side opposite Roger Rosengarten. As for Tampa, I'm not sure. I think as far as I can recall, he did play cornerback when we saw him in practice. So, you know, I guess I'd have to look back and see where he lined up in the few snaps that he did get this year. But I don't think it was a safety. I guess that is always an option. Maybe you have an idea of playing him at that, you know, slot position and kind of occupying the Kyle Hamilton role. I think so much of that position is about intelligence and know-how and savvy, and so much of what Kyle Hamilton did close to the line of scrimmage, you just cannot dump onto another guy off the street and say, you know, go be this guy who fits up the run, or go be this guy who is such a reliable and savvy blitzer. I imagine they probably want to give him a longer look at outside cornerback, and certainly there's going to be a need for that with Brandon Stevens in all likelihood moving on. But as with, you know, Devontae Walker, as with a lot of these rookies that they brought in, we just didn't get really that good of a look at them, and it's tough to accurately prognosticate what their futures are in Baltimore or how promising they should be.
Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing, Jonas, Ravens have played all four teams in the championship weekend, lost to three of them. Yeah, they beat Buffalo way back when, but the one that mattered, they lost. Who's going to the Super Bowl? Who's going to New Orleans and do what they do in New Orleans, which is a lot of crazy thing. Peeing in Bourbon Street's one that I remember way back when.
I think it'll be the Eagles and Bills. I think Eagles just have, they don't have the better quarterback, but they've got the better everything else. And then I think the Bills, with, you know, them having already beaten Kansas City and having done it without a lot of the weapons that they should have available, makes me lean slightly in their way. And frankly, I'm just not all that enthused about seeing this kind of slowpoke Kansas City offense move the ball up and down the field. I'd much rather like the kind of chaotic structure, the chaotic style of Josh Allen, even though he was not very impressive, when the Ravens got him a week ago.
I want to see Haley Steinfeld and Taylor Swift in the same room. How's that happen?
Josh's girlfriend?
That's his fiance.
Fiance.
He is Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Start getting into that crazy Super Bowl prep.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Jonas Schaefer, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around coming up next. Keith Cavanaugh, TerribleTimes.com. Talk about Maryland's win last night at Champaign. What's happening portal-wise for Maryland football recruiting. And then Vinny's film breakdown of said AFC Championship game, 11:40.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Time for the whip around. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw, featured artist Friday, Blue Oyster Cult. Send your song request. Applause for text 94-10-583-1057. Get through this quickly as possible because Keith Cavanaugh is waiting for us. NFL news today. Pete Carroll agrees to a deal with the Las Vegas Raiders. 3-year deal with a 4th-year team option.
I like it, Bob. I mean, because you look at their hires as of late, you know, and Pete's got credibility, instant credibility the day he walks into that locker room. So I think it's a really good hire for Brady.
National champion USC, Super Bowl champ in Seattle. Yeah. And as we said, took New England to the playoffs. So been there, done that. It's Pete Carroll. Only concern, I guess, his age, 73 years old. Let me ask you this real quick. If you're Todd Mungin's, like, 15 years younger than this dude, and he's getting head coaching jobs, what's wrong with me?
Probably doesn't have the head coaching experience, I'm guessing. You know, I mean, he was at Southern Miss. But I think that's a good, especially if Pete does well. If Pete goes to the Raiders and he's doing well, then I think people are going to have a different idea. Because, all right, let's say Ben Johnson goes and sucks and Liam Cohen stinks it up. All of a sudden, he's 38-year-old guys. You know, it's kind of like which quarterbacks have done well when they come in as rookies. The dudes that were 5th and 6th-year guys, the older guys.
Fitty and Haiti, 105.7 The Fan. Terps last night, 91.70. A game you heard on The Fan over Illinois, ranked number 17. Julian Reese, brilliant, 27, 17, three block shots. Derek Queen, 25, 6, and 4 with three steals. Gillespie was outstanding, controlling and running that offense. Forced Illinois into 16 turnovers. Talk to Keith about that. Bottom of the hour. Elsewhere, college hoops, top 25. Outside of Illinois, Memphis beat Wichita State 61-53. The Tigers ranked number 24. Penny Hardaway still doing its thing there. UMBC locally beat Albany in overtime 92-87. And Towson handled their business easily 83-67. North Carolina A&T. The Tigers 6-1, by the way, everybody, in the Colonial. Start keeping an eye on that as we're creeping closer to February. NBA. Clippers beat the Wiz 110-93. James Harden had a triple-double, 17-12-13. Bob Carrington, Baltimore, 12-6-5 for the Wiz, who stink, 1-19 now on the road. Toronto won 22-119 over Atlanta. Scotty Barnes had 25-6-3 for the Raptors. Emmanuel Quickley dealing with a hip.
Yeah.
Injury plague season for him. Dallas kind of stunned OKC, 121-115. Spencer Dinwiddie had 28. Aaron Wiggins for Maryland, 8 points, 3 boards, and 5 assists in that one as Dallas gets a nice win. I think Daniel Gafford got hurt in that one, unfortunately, for the Mavs. Milwaukee blows out Miami, 125-96. Damian Lee at 29, 9, and 11. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore. Archbishop Curley at 3-3-1 there. Denver beats Sacramento, 132-123. Nolan, listen to this stat line. The Joker, 35 points, 22 rebounds, 17 assists.
Damn.
That's called filling a stat sheet, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Huerter, not so much. Played 6 minutes, didn't score. Alex Len, DNP, coach's decision to former Maryland Terrapins there. Golden State beat Chicago, 131-106. Let's see here. Steph Curry at 21 points, 4 boards, 7 assists. Jalen Smith, University of Maryland. Mount St. Joe, Baltimore kid. He had 9.6 boards for the Bulls, who stink too. Boxing, in a way, if you were up at 6 in the morning like I was, watch a little fight. Super Bantamweight Championship on ESPN+. Knocks out Ye Joon Kim in the 4th round. He defends that unified band. Oh, I hope I didn't spoiler alert it if you were looking to watch it on replay. But in a way, arguably the top pound per pound guy in boxing, right-handed the jaw. Good night, sweet prince. There, Capitals last night in Seattle taking on the Kraken. And the most surprising team in a good way in the NHL just keeps on rolling.
But it's not a shot on goal. You figure that out. Kraken can use one right now. There's no doubt.
Ovechkin. Well, there you go. Alex Ovechkin, 875, gets a step closer to the great one.
Yeah, I tell you what, the Caps, they are shocking. And I mean, they've got 71 points. They have the most points in the league. And they have the best goal differential in the league, a plus 54. They're 8-0-2 in their last 10. They've won 6 in a row. They've only given up the league low, 116 goals. They've got two goalies that are playing outstanding. Lindbergh got the shutout last night, his first of the season. And Logan Thompson's been the best goalie in the league. So they've been getting phenomenal defensive play. And Carsbury last night, he was saying that, all right, guys, let's go play in the fun end. We're doing a really good job defending, but we need to go score some more goals.
Yeah, they've been getting outshot, even in a lot of their wins. Sportsnet, by the way, on the call. Caps Saturday at 10 at Vancouver. And the Canucks are 27-10, but they've been losing a lot here as of late.
Canucks have been strong. I mean, the West Coast trip, the 5-game trip that they're on, all the teams that they're playing, they've kind of hit them just right. They're all kind of on losing streaks. But when you look at the Metro, the Rangers now are 7-0-3. Columbus is 7-2-1. Carolina's 7-2-1 in their last 10. So the Metro, all those teams are playing pretty good, and everybody else is kind of, you know, going around 500.
All right, this day in sports history on the whip around. It's January 24th. A little boxing for you real quick. 1976 in Las Vegas. This fight was on Wild World of Sports. I did watch it. I'm not lying. It was great. And then we went to Ponderosa after and got a nice shoe leather steak.
I remember doing that when I was a kid, Ponderosa.
Yeah, when you're 11, it tasted like prime rib, you know what I'm saying? That Ruth's Chris prime rib at that. George Foreman gets off the canvas twice and knocks out Ron Lyle to win that fight. It's a comeback from the Muhammad Ali debacle back in 74. You can watch it on YouTube. It's awesome. Howard Cosell, Ken Norton were on the call there. And then 1982 at the Silver Dome in Pontiac, Michigan, San Francisco 49ers win their first Super Bowl 26-21 over the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Montana was the most valuable player. The most memorable part to me about that game was the goal line stand San Francisco had against Pete Johnson.
Yep.
Stoned him like three times. And Pete Johnson, for younger listeners, he was a fullback of like 250 style way back when.
And that was, yeah, he was a big fullback at that time. And like the D-line, he was probably like Pierce Holt and the dude from Miami. They weren't that big. You know, Pierce Holt was like 260, maybe.
So 81 was like the Fred Dean era.
Fred Dean.
Yeah. Anyway, national anthem, Nolan. We've heard of her, Diana Ross. Then you get to halftime, however. Up with people. Whoop, whoop. Doing a salute to Motown. Nothing like a bunch of white people doing a salute to Motown. Not up with people on top of it. CBS on the call. Pat Summerall, John Madden. 85.24 million people watched that game 43 years
ago. Bob, what do you think
today?
The TV ratings are going to be? Because they've been down in everything up to this point.
Well,
Philly, Washington, I think probably pretty decent, don't you think?
Buffalo, KC will definitely be big. And if Buffalo or KC, obviously one of them's getting to the Super Bowl, I don't know. Super Bowl ratings all depends on who the opponent would be. If this was the Redskins of 30 years ago, it'd be epic.
Oh, no doubt.
Philadelphia, I mean, we're talking two of the top 10 TV markets right there.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Don't tell anybody, but he's a Commanders fan. But we're talking about the Terps with him. Big win last night. Do they follow it up at Bloomington? And what's happening with old Loxley there building that football team for 25?
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere else.
Louis to call, featured artist Friday, chosen by you, the people. You want to jam, send your request, Plaza Sports text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw last night. Maryland, that signature win over, air quotes, of course, over Illinois, yes, they were minus Vizicic or whatever. He was sick. That's their problem, not Maryland's. Maryland's big men took advantage of it. Here to talk about that and more from TerrapinTimes.com. He's your friend and ours. He's Keith Cavanaugh. Keith, how you feeling?
Bob, pinch me. Am I still dreaming? Did we actually witness that last night? Bottled that performance last night. They did a 180 here.
And Keith, they withstood rallies from Illinois, too. So they punched them. They got punched back. They Benitez them, counterpunched them, and wound up knocking them out. Yes, very, very impressive, I guess.
The moral of the story is they listened to our segment last week. Secondly, they finally played like a team with a plan, with energy, with basketball IQ, and they utilized all their talented parts into one coherent unit, something we had not seen in forever, and that was on the road at number 17. 91 points and only 3 three-pointers, and those all late. That's got to be a record. 62 point paints, and props to Willard. He got them ready to play. He noticed Underwood, for some bizarre reason, was not doubling the post. So they were patient. They fed the bigs. Tremendous game for Derek Queen bouncing back. A much more economical, efficient game. He was not nonchalant. He was not a point guard out there trying to showcase for the next level. I mean, between his 25 and Reese's 27 and Gillespie's acrobatic 15, but yes, not a lot of wasted motion, not a lot of empty possessions. They played within themselves. They rebounded. I rebounded the number two rebounding team in the country. They were mentally ready to play. And, yeah, every time they needed an answer, a counter, they got it. They finally, end-to-end, led and put somebody away without collapsing down the stretch. So that was huge. You know, flu notwithstanding, I think Underwood had the flu. I've never seen him less dramatic during a game. Usually he's going apocalyptic over there, but he just sat there and arms crossed. I never remember seeing him get up. But props to the coaches, the players, now they got to sustain it. You know, they're back to number 20 in the NET. They're back to a number 9 seed in the tournament. You know, KJ last night, you know, he got 21, but 11 were from the free throw line. So they contained their next best guy. So that was a great thing. They seem to have Underwood's number. What's that? 4 of the last 5 they've won out there. So hopefully this is a pivot time in this season.
Now we go to Bloomington on Sunday, gaming in here on the Fan, noon tip off. In Indiana, I mean, if you look at the roster, Keith, which obviously you have, they have talent. There are players there, maybe NBA-level guys. But as Maryland responds to getting smacked around, Indiana seems to not be able to recover. Illinois beat them by 30 a couple of weeks ago there, and they were up, what, maybe 30 at halftime of that game. So deep edge travels, as Walt Williams told us yesterday. What about Indiana, though? The Hoosiers, it's a mercurial team, to borrow a word from you. But if you get on them early, do they have the wherewithal to maybe respond to that early pumelling?
Yeah, I mean, last night, Maryland set the tempo and pace and the narrative of that game right from jump. And that started at defensive end. You know, they closed out the passing lanes, active hands. They set the tone. They took the crowd mostly out of it by halftime almost. Indiana every year, always hyped up, ballyhooed, and they always seem to crumble. You've got to get another road win. Then you come back here and you play Whiskey and Ohio State. You know, Wisconsin's going to be very tough. What are they, a number 5 seed right now? Ohio State, we've already pummeled. But, yeah, Indiana usually underachieves. I'm expecting if Maryland shows anything like they did last night, they'll go out there and take care of business. And, you know, last night you did it all without basically any bench production. I mean, what, do they have 1 or 2 points off the bench? But this is what this team, because it has so many talented parts, when they get on the same page, when they're not doing individualistic ball, when they're not being ball dominant, when they're not showcasing for the next level, and when they play with a team. I mean, you only could hope you could keep this team together for another year. We know that may not happen. And you and I, as we were texting earlier today, there was some good news this week we broke on our website. Juju has been rewarded an extra year of eligibility. Juju Reese, who in the last 3 weeks, he's a whole nother person, a whole nother presence out there. He is so efficient right now as a player. Now, if he keeps blowing up like this, you hopefully someone doesn't come in and say, hey, we'll give you $2 million to transfer to some blue blood. Hopefully that next year will be at Maryland. But, you know, Queen likely gone. Last night he did so much for his NBA stock after slumping a bit. So that would be huge if he returns for another year. He will be a guy who makes more money at the college level than the pro level. That's the reality. So, you know, I expect a win out there. The Maryland women Sunday, unfortunately, they're much injured right now. They got number 1 UCLA here at 2 o'clock. Unfortunately, with McDaniel and Sellers out right now, that's not good for the number 8 Terps, but they fought valiantly yesterday at Ohio State. Up 15 the first half, but blew it down the stretch. Just too many turnovers and misses. But play within yourself. Play within the team comp set. Know your role. You know, all these cliches. But that's what the men did last night. And, you know, this team can go deep, deep, deep in March if we see more of that.
Hey, Keith, what's happening with the portal? Anything exciting, you know, in the recruiting efforts of the football team? And then what about the coaching staff?
Yeah, nothing new, unfortunately. Vinny, no new hires. You know, you still need an OC. Who knows if Loxley may be his own OC. 2 of the 3, and again, it was a record, 3 offensive line coaches are gone. You know, Ferentz left for Fresno State. Braswell was fired. You still have Robo, who I think will be, you know, the head guy there. I still expect changes on defensive and special team staff, but Tyrese Mills, a reserve Penn State safety in the portal, did visit this week. His visits will continue. Zahir Mathis in the 25 class, as we mentioned last year, the top unsigned player in this year's class, he's coming in this weekend, 4-star out of Philly. That'll be a very, very tough pull. But no new commitments, no new guys leaving, and no staff incoming yet since we spoke last week and the week before. Nothing new there. But now half the freshman portal class are already on campus, arriving last week. That's good to get them in and start working, particularly the 4-star quarterback, Malik Washington.
Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. Keith, appreciate it as always. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You too, guys. Thank you.
There's Keith Cavanaugh, everybody. We'll come back, get to that film breakdown of the Bills and the Chiefs AFC Championship game coming up 6:30 Sunday night. You can hear that game 105.7 The Fan. Buffalo getting two on the road.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's Film Room on 105.7 The Fan.
105.7 The Fan. Championship games. National Football League coming up on Sunday. You can hear them both on this here radio station. 3 o'clock, Washington and Philly. We'll preview that with Howard Balzer coming up around 12:30, but right now Vinny's going to break down the offense of the Kansas City Chiefs. Who was it? Jonas Schaefer. We don't want to watch that snooze fest with that Chiefs offense. They're 1.5-point favorites. The line keeps changing by that half a point. But Vinny, let's talk about that KC offense that just a couple seasons ago looked like one of the great offenses of all time. Now they're winning games in other ways, certainly not putting up 35 points a game anymore.
I know, but you know what's crazy, Bob, is when you look at their skill people, you know, Pacheco's back and they got Kareem Hunt, you know, so they got a good 1-2 punch there. And then at wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, the rookie, who's been playing good, they got Hopkins and they got Hollywood Brown. They got Juju Smith-Schuster as the four. So, I mean, they've got players there. The biggest problem is he doesn't have time to get the ball deep. You know, they had to take Joe Tooney, their Pro Bowl guard, and move him to tackle, you know, and then Trey Smith Juwan Taylor to right tackle. I've never been that impressed with him. So, I mean, that's the big issue they got. The O-line is the problem. Because, Bob, how about this? How about they picked the BYU kid at the left tackle, to start at left tackle. Could you imagine if they would have taken Rosengarten? He probably could have started, and he's improved a lot more.
Kingsley Suamatalele.
And I thought he was fragilistic. Yeah, I thought he was a talented guy, but I thought he was a ways away yet, just because he needed to live in the weight room. So yeah, that O-line, because last time they played Buffalo, Mahomes threw two picks up there in Buffalo, and they had the ball like 10 minutes less. They couldn't run it. That's a big problem in a lot of these games. Teams make them one-dimensional. And Pacheco's not big enough. You know, I mean, I like him. He's got some burst, and that's why they play Hunt, too, to break some tackles. But the O-line is not a knock-you-off-the-ball kind of guy. And with Buffalo's D-line, we talked about them last week. They're not big, you know, and they're going to play their nickel against them, unlike what they did against the Ravens, because the Ravens can run it. Maybe because the Ravens ran for 176 that the Chiefs will try to run the ball a little bit more, but you know, Kelsey's going to have to play. They love their tight ends. Kelsey, Noah Gray, you know, so they've got some guys that can make some plays. And the tight ends catch it because the ball's got to come out so quick. If they can protect and Mahomes has time to throw, they've got the weapons where they can score points. So, I mean, that's going to be the whole thing. They've got to have some success running the football. That's going to be the key for them. And can they? I don't know. You know, Ed Oliver's going to cause them some problems because, you know, they're going to have a hard time blocking him. But they do. Creed Humphrey's a Pro Bowl center. Creed Humphrey's good.
They have first team all pro.
Yeah. And I think Tooney was Pro Bowl. They like their center and two guards, but they had to take their one guard and move him to left tackle. So, I mean, that kind of hurts them, you know, some. So, I mean, they're about due. Well, we'll see. I mean, because they'll probably blitz him a lot, Bob, you know, and play some man coverage, you know, because Hopkins doesn't run like he once did. Xavier Worthy's not a great route runner. Hollywood's
fast, yeah.
Yeah, Hollywood can run routes, but he's not a yak guy. That's the problem. You know, like if he was Zay Flowers, like, that would, you know, then that would be quick screens, because you're going to see them, ton of quick screens. And Kelsey will probably get at least 10 targets. You know, how are they going to guard Kelsey? That's going to be the big thing, because last week he had over 7 catches, over 100 yards, and had the big what? The big 48-yard play to kind of get them going. So the thing is with them is they've got experience. They've been there. They've done that. They know how to win close games if it's close. And they don't get rattled about anything. You know, if you're down in the fourth quarter, they're not going to get, they're not going to panic. Andy Reid's not going to panic. They're not going to rattle. You got to kind of like, you got to like, I mean, until Mahomes loses, I mean, you can't bet against Mahomes.
And they are favored, but you mentioned the sacks before we get to the break. We'll bring Nolan in for a half a second here, or maybe a full. It ought to be.
He got sacked twice last game.
Three times. He was sacked 36 during the regular season, got sacked three times last week against Houston.
No, so that, against Buffalo the last time they played, he got sacked twice.
But I'm
twice.
Saying for the season, he's been sacked almost 40 times.
And that's their big – if they lose, it's going to be because he gets I'm guessing Rousseau, Oliver. I don't see Von Miller causing a lot of but we'll see. They may blitz. They blitz the Ravens a lot, so they may come after them a little bit, but then who's going to win one-on-one?
We'll talk about the Buffalo offense coming up around 12:45, but let's bring Nolan in. Nolan, say hi to everybody there.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with my picks. Still got some time left in the show to figure it out, but I mean, I'm feeling the pressure. I'm in the lead. Got to protect it. My heart wants
to... picking first.
Right, wants to pick what I'm rooting for, which would be Bills Commanders. I mean, I guess I don't really have a problem with the Eagles either, but I just think that would be the most entertaining Super Bowl, Bills Commanders. And I can't get carried away, though. Got to be real. Vinny mentioned it there. You can't bet against Mahomes until finally proves it. It could be as ugly as can be. They could win 13-10. Wouldn't surprise me at all. So I'm flip-flopping back and forth here.
Yeah, we'll do our picks coming up around 1:15. And, you know, I said before the Ravens and the Bills play, the winner of that game's winning the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I guess you know who I'm picking in the AFC. NFC, I'm still kind of torn. All I'll say is last time the Washington franchise went to a Super Bowl in Minnesota, Buffalo Bills were the opponent. Mm-hmm. Can we go back in time? And Thurman Thomas, remember, forgot his helmet because Kenneth Davis is like, it just, that was a precursor to them getting puffy pantsed at the Metrodome. We'll come back, talk Ravens news from the Nest. You want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Mark Andrews sent that his social media post. Basically, what do the young kids say? Getting into his feels. And I feel bad for him because you knew how he was feeling all along. But anyway, buy or sell, let's count some dough. And we'll preview the championship games with Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer at 12:30.